Welcome to Healing Fire Ministries. We hope you will be blessed as you listen to this message. May God be with you.
Come on, Jesus.
Turn your Bible with your Bibles with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 9, verse 35. And read for me up until verse 38. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35, up until verse 38. Hallelujah.
Matthew chapter 9 and verse 35. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered.
When he saw the multitudes, what happened?
He was moved with compassion.
He was moved with compassion. Other version says his heart was broken. Why was his heart broken?
Because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd.
They were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Weary means they were tired. By the way, as you'll notice, Sihle is not here today. I forgot to tell the church that he lost his grandmother, and they buried his grandmother yesterday. Amen. So please send him your messages of condolences. Amen.
Amen.
I believe he'll be coming back between today and tomorrow. Amen.
Amen.
So anyway, the sheep become scattered. Oh, but they are weary. They are tired. They are growing tired. They are becoming weak. Hallelujah. And they are scattered. In other words, they are moving around aimlessly without purpose. And when Jesus saw that, it broke his heart. What breaks your heart? What is it when you see that breaks your heart? How many people's heart is broken by the things that breaks God's heart? How many people's heartbeat is beating at the same pace as God's heartbeat? You know, I don't know about you, but I want to feel what God feels. I want to be pained by what pains God. Hallelujah. And so if the Lord Jesus' heart was broken, I also want my heart to break with what breaks his heart. So that I can do the things that are important to my God. So when he sees people who are weak, not weak because they are tired from work, but weak because it's like life has beaten them. They are weak because they are godless. They are weak because they don't have a God they can call unto. They are weak because they have no hope. They are afraid that if I would die, what would happen to me? And when they think about all these things, they become weak. That's why sometimes we have so many suicides, because a lot of the people who commit suicide are godless people. They don't have a God. Because they are not aware of what happens when you die. They are not aware. So they think that you... And then that's it. It's not it. Tell anybody it's not it. So they make their life so cheap like that, not knowing. So when Jesus is thinking about these things, it hurts him. And so he wants people who will also be concerned about the same things. Let's continue reading.
Verse 37. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest."
Hallelujah. So the Lord says that the people who are available to work are few. Very few. Out of all of us sitting here, a few of us are available to work. Every Saturday morning here, we've got prayer. Very few of us appear and come. Hallelujah. We were having fasting and praying. Very few came in comparison to the rest of the church. Do you understand? May you be amongst the few in the name of Jesus Christ. So, as I said, for some time, and I'm going to preach this for some time. So don't get tired. Tell your neighbor, don't get tired. I'm going to preach it until it comes into your head, until it comes into your heart, and until it causes you to start moving. Hallelujah. Yeah. Last week I just off-ramped because I felt there was something troubling the waters. So I just needed to cool down the waters first and then come back to my message. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Yeah. So, like I said in our Easter conference, I want to recruit you to become a soldier in the house of God. Many people are being recruited for many different things. But how many people are concerned about the kingdom of God and telling people about God and telling people about the work of God that is yet to be done? When you read the book of Matthew chapter 7, the Bible tells us that broad is the way, wide is the gate that leads to destruction. I wish the scripture ended there, but the Bible says, many there be. In other words, the majority is going through the gate that is leading to destruction. The majority of mankind is walking on the route that is leading to their destruction. And the Bible says, narrow is the gate and that is leading to life. And the Bible says, few. In other words, the minority is walking in the narrow road that leads to life. So we need some people who will be concerned that masses of people are perishing and going to hell. Many people are rather concerned about their life, their clothes, their this, their that, and are not concerning themselves about, hey, many people, my community, many people in the community I'm living in are going to hell. Many young children in the community are going to hell. I knew you won't say amens for this message. But I'm going to preach it whether you say amen or you don't say amen. Hallelujah. So I want you to be amongst the people that when you see many people going to hell, when you see many people on the road of destruction, it must hurt you. It must break your heart so that you want to be involved. You want to be one of the people who will stop the people from going to hell. That you'll be willing to sacrifice your life. That you'll be willing to sacrifice your time to get involved in this work that we are doing. Hallelujah. The amens are not blessing me. So I want to be one of those people, and I want to recruit you to be one of those people also. Amen. So I want to recruit you to join the army of God here in Almapias. Amen. Don't get tired of my preaching like this. Okay? I know that, you know, some of you want to hear certain types of preachings. I will preach them one day, but now People are perishing. And we have to stop them from perishing. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Yeah. So, I want to teach for a very short time on how to become a shepherd. How to become a shepherd. Okay. Karabo took 5 minutes of my time, okay? So it's not me. It's Karabo. How to become a shepherd? Because Jesus said, the trouble that we are having is that there is a lack of shepherds. Hallelujah. Now, for you to become a shepherd, the way you see things has to change. Do you understand? For instance, or for example, there are two types of people in a church. How many types? Two. And what are these types? It's shepherds and it is sheep. So as you are sitting here in church, you are either a sheep or you are either a shepherd. The sheep are being taken care of. The shepherd are the ones taking care. So as you're sitting here today, either you are in the group that are being taken care of by somebody else, or you are in the group where you are assisting in caring for other people. Hallelujah. You know, my wife and I have a very small young girl, a 5-year-old, who, by the way, is turning 6 very soon. So she was angry that her mother forgot or something that she's turning 6 very soon. And when she was younger, it was all about her. When she's hungry, we make her food, we pick her up. Her mother will carry her, make her sleep. That she did absolutely zero. We were doing everything for her. And sometimes I want to send her. I say, go fetch this for me. And then she will go and turn by the door and say, I can't open the door. Then I have to stand up and go fetch the thing for myself. So she was not contributing anything. We couldn't even send her. I said to her, go pick up a spoon. I want a spoon. She said, Daddy, I can't reach. Then I have to now stand up and go get a spoon. Hallelujah. Do you understand? Now, as she has gained some height, Nyana, I said, go fetch this for me. And she will run and fetch. I said, aha. Aha. Someone said, it's working. So, in her small little way, she is beginning to contribute to the family in her small little way. Hallelujah. Now, many, many people in the church who are in the sheep category, you are like my little daughter when she was younger. We have to, everything is about you. We have to teach you the word of God. We have to fetch you. We have to gather you. We have to this. We have to that. We have to that. We have to that. We have to that. But as you grow to become a shepherd, you become a shepherd. Okay, pastor, don't worry. Like, imagine, for example, which is something I've done before. You come to church. I greet you there at the door. I tell you where to sit. Do you understand? Then I come and I lead prayer. Open your Bibles. Let's pray. And I'm the one doing it. And while I'm praying, another person walks in and says, oh, sorry, sir, there's a chair here. I stop praying. There's a chair here. Then I come back. Then I say, now it's time for preaching. Then let's invite our pastor. And then I also now come and preach. Hey! And then I preach and I preach. And then I'm the one who take offering. I pray for you. And then I also catch you when you are falling while I'm praying for you. Hallelujah. And then when the service, I make sure you go home nicely and so on. It's not possible to do all these things by myself. Do you agree? And church will look very funny when all these things I'm doing by myself. So some of the people begin to grow. Say, okay, no, Pastor, I want to be involved in this. I want to be involved in that. I want to be involved in that. And so therefore, these people are growing to become shepherds. Because now they are beginning to contribute in this family of God called Healing Fire Ministries. Hallelujah. Amen. So that's how you have to look at church. Either you're a sheep or you're a shepherd. Ask your neighbor, where do you fall? Are you a sheep or a shepherd? Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, if you're a sheep, you must become a shepherd. Glory be to God. Put your hands together for Jesus. Hallelujah. So a shepherd is someone who has time. Time. Time is the most important part of what I'm saying now. It is someone who has time to care, time to love, time to feed, and time to gather the sheep. Time to care for, time to love, time to gather, time to feed, and for the sheep. Hallelujah. Many of us, we do not have time. It's not that you don't have time, it's just that you give your time to other things. But the people who have decided to be shepherds are people who, out of all their time, they decide that a part of my time, I want to give it to my God to be available and to contribute to the work of God. Thank you, Omar, for that. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So time is the most important thing. There is a saying in the world that time is money. Hallelujah. Me, I say time is life. Your life is time. So when you give some of your time to God, you are giving some of your life to God. And God needs people who will sacrifice some of their time. And some of us are not even doing some important thing. Maybe we should be asking you, oh, what have you been doing? Oh, I was in the hospital. I was delivering babies. They say, oh, you're doing important work. But for many of you, when we ask, oh, where were you? Hey, I was watching SpongeBob SquarePants. I was watching Generations. The Legacy. Is this still called The Legacy? Some of the things I'm afraid to say, you know, they are true. You know, this brother says sometimes I come with boxing gloves, and me, I'm just telling you what you do, and you are angry with me to tell you what you are doing. Hallelujah. So, can you sacrifice a little bit of your time to care for somebody else? To make sure that their relationship with God is getting better. Many years ago, when I was in university, I tell many people, I just used to mind my own business when I was at school. I would go to school, come back home. And some of my classmates, you know, started being a bit close to me. And it's very dangerous to be close to me because you end up falling in love with God. And so to cut the long story short, I led some of my classmates to Christ. Do you understand? Now a couple of weeks or about a month or two after I led one of them to Christ, she came to me and said, I've got a problem. I said, what's your problem, sister? She said to me, sometimes I don't believe that God is there. Ha! So I sat her down, opened my Bible, and started encouraging her and showing her that God is there, and it's not just there, He loves you. And He doesn't just love you, He's taking care of you. Till today, this lady is in the church. She's loving God. She's serving God. Every now and then, I check on her. Every time when it's my birthday, she won't forget. And she calls me her pastor. Even her husband. I don't know her husband. I just know him by seeing him. But he knows me as that lady's pastor. And she doesn't even come to my church. Because we met in university. I just had a little time to just encourage her a little bit. Until today, her children are going to grow up knowing God. Her family is a family that knows God. Just because I gave some time. Someone say some time. Probably her grandchildren will know God. And her grandchildren will know God. Because one little boy gave some time to encourage her about God. So, why is your time too expensive? It is even more expensive for God. God can afford you. Tell your neighbor, yo matura. They're expensive. That even God cannot afford your time. Tell your neighbor, smile. You're in church. Smile, please. Don't scare the pastor with your face, please. Hallelujah. So afford some time. When we are coming to pray, come and pray. We are praying so that Namapias can be saved. We are praying so that people can know God. We are praying. Can you give a little bit of your time, please, to come and pray? Some of you, your sleep is too expensive. Just wake up a little bit and come and pray. You can speak in tongues, but you don't use your tongues. Even your tongues have cobwebs. You know when spiders have been around and it hasn't been cleaned. So your tongues now is like they are arusile. God has blessed you with the ability to speak to Him in a divine language. You don't use it. God has given you access to come and talk to Him directly. You don't have to go through another person. I heard there's Hallelujah. But you, your God, He gives you direct access to speak to Him. This man, when he came to my place on Tuesday or Thursday, whenever he came, he said to me, Pastor, I made a bet with God. And I lost the bet. And I told God, if I lose the bet, I will do this. So whatever bet, I don't even know his bet. Because he lost it, he had to come to my place. I wasn't there when he was making the bet. Look at your God. The creator of the heavens and the earth gives you access to be making bets with Him. Telling him, I said, can you please give Him some time, please? Give some of your time to God. You know, I was listening to Bishop Doug recently, and he was saying that when his children were growing up, he asked one of his sons a question. I don't know what subject they were doing, either geography or something. And he said to him, what is the longest river in Africa? Now this one should just pop out of your mind. What is the longest river in Africa? Ask your neighbor, what's the longest river? And the guy said, like a river that is in America instead of a river that is in Africa. And very soon he was going to write exams. So Bishop realized that this guy is heading for failure. He was a failure. So he decided that he will spend time with him and help him to study. So Bishop would wake up in the morning and go to church, and then this guy will wake up and go to school. And the church where we were raised, my mother can tell you. We would have meetings to 1 a.m. Mom Ruth can tell you. Meetings to 2 a.m. When we have, let's say, a Tuesday service, they'll say, shepherds, stay behind. After a service, and then they start teaching us. And we'll be there till 1 a.m., 2 a.m. And many of us are going to work the next day. They'll teach us shamelessly. And the pastor will be there relaxed. Relaxed. Teaching us till the a.m.s in the midweek. So, when he would come back home, let's say he arrives at 1 a.m. or 2 a.m., he'll wake up the boy and say, open your books, let's study together. And then he'll be reading, and Bishop will be saying that sometimes he'll ask him a question, and then as he's looking for the answer, he'll fall asleep, like Bishop will fall asleep. Because he came back late, he's tired himself. And then when the boy gets the answer, he says, hey, what's the answer? And then they'll tell him the answer. And they do that for many weeks, many months. And his children now, someone is a doctor, another one is a lawyer, another one is a this, another one is a that. Why? Time. Someone say time. Time. He gave his child time. When he saw that his child is going to fail, when he saw that his child is going through the road of destruction, he said, let me spend time with my child. Even if I'm tired, even if I don't feel like it, even if I came back home late. And some of us, we come back home at 7 o'clock. Ah! It's like the house must bow down and lay prostrate. Then, hey, ufiki lukatele. I know you won't say amen. And other parents are arriving at 1 a.m., 2 a.m. and calling their children, come, let's study. I want to make sure that you are doing well at school. But you know, when I preach, I am not talking about anybody. The ideas are just coming from my mind. I don't go and think, today I want to preach about Uma. Please, I don't do that, please. So if I'm saying something that is connecting with you, please be angry with God. Don't be angry with me. Tell God, why are you embarrassing me in private, in church? Hallelujah. So I'm begging you in the name of Jesus Christ, let's give God time. Let's give time for God's people, so that they can know God. There is somebody who doesn't know the scripture that you know. Yesterday I was here for ministry meetings, me and my young people. And I was teaching them, and we were talking, and they were talking to me. And when I got home, I was so blessed. I was telling my wife that I was sitting with the young people, and I was sharing with them, and these were their answers, and we were just discussing. And said, I was enjoying. I love it. I'm preparing them for their future. And I was telling them about love. You see, when you fall in love, and they were looking at me, oh, Pastor. I said, stop looking at me like that, because you know these things, but you're acting like you don't know them. Hallelujah. When you go home now, I'm going to stay with my young people and teach them and give them the word of God and prepare them for a future and prepare them for a future that has God in it. Just giving my time. And show them love and care. And give them wisdom and advice that they will most likely not get anywhere else. I give my time. Why is your time so expensive that even God can't afford? Give him some time. Hallelujah. There are some weekends, it's like sometimes the way I live, you think that I don't have a family. Sometimes on Monday, when my wife is at work, I realized that the whole week I haven't spent time with her. Sometimes when my daughter is at school, I realize that I haven't spent time with her. Because even if we are together, we are working, we are thinking about the church, we have to do this, we have to do that. Probably after everything, we have to visit somebody to make sure that they're okay. But we give our little time so that the sheep will have a shepherd that cares for them. So I want to recruit you also. Give yourself, give you a little time. God is not asking for too much. Our church, we are not meeting yet during the week. We meet once in a while. We just meet on Saturday and Sunday. Monday is yours, Tuesday is yours, Wednesday is yours, Thursday. And even that little time for Saturday and Sunday is too expensive. Bible study group, 1 hour. Hello? 1 hour. You can't give 1 hour to sit with other brothers and sisters to share the word of God together. 1 little hour in a week is too expensive for you. For your own sake, so that you can know the scriptures. When Satan comes for you, when Satan comes for your family, you can't pay him off with money. When Satan came for Jesus, Jesus said, "It is written." So, when you come for the Bible study groups, for the ministry meetings, we keep sharing the word and we keep repeating it. Some of you think, these people are repeating this thing. We're already, you don't remember unless we repeat and repeat and repeat and repeat. When you study for exam, you study the same thing over and over, isn't it? Isn't that how it works? Till it enters you, then you are prepared for life. So even in church, we have to repeat and repeat and repeat, because many times, if we say something once, it doesn't really make the impact that it has to make. So we have to repeat and repeat and repeat until it enters your spirit. Then the day that the devil comes for you, there'll be a word that is in your spirit and you can respond and fight him off. So that's why we're asking, come for Bible study group, 1 hour. It's just so that the word can, you know, just marinate you. Come for the ministries, 1 hour. So that the word can marinate you. So that the day that the enemy remembers your house, he'll be very shocked the day he comes. He will leave your house running. Can I hear a louder amen, please? You know what I'm saying is not even a point in the thing that I've... But I feel stressing this. Let's give God some time. A shepherd is someone who says, God, some of my time is yours. And God is not even asking for all of it. Just like tithe is 10% of your money. So you can also decide, 10% of my week, I give it to God. You can count it in hours, that at least 10%, I must give it to God. Then you have 90%. You go to work, you spend with your family, you do. 90% is yours. My advice, just don't go and be a groovist and all those nonsense. But just use it wisely. But 90% is yours. It's yours. Because some people, they spend 10% with God, and the things they do with the 90%, it erases the 10%. Makes the 10% zero. So in the 90%, don't do things that undo the 10%. Am I talking to somebody? Yeah. Please give God some time. Some time. Avail yourself for the activities that we have. Some of you, we ask you, join Christian Foundation School. It's a 4-week program. A few minutes, 20 or so minutes after church. You do one class, and then after that, you become a shadow. After church, gone. Brother, gone. Sister, gone. You just see, if you are wearing yellow, we just see yellow. You're sitting like, oh. 20 minutes. What are you going to do with the 20 minutes? Ask your neighbor, 20 minutes? You can't spend 20 minutes? Say it like I'm saying, 20 minutes? Ah! Hallelujah. Let's give God time. The more of you that become shepherds, is the more we'll be able to reach out to Namapias. Is the more we'll be able to win souls. Is the more we'll be able to change and transform lives. The less of you who your time is too expensive for God, you can't even spend a little few time with God, then there's somebody who is suffering there. Many years ago, when I used to go visit sick people in hospitals, one of the things that I realized, Mom Ruth, is that every time I went, there would always be someone who gets born again. In other words, if I don't go, there will be someone who should have gotten born again, but is not. And this is how God looks at the thing. When you choose to use your time for somebody else, you are robbing God of a soul that should have been touched because of you. But you chose to use your time to watch television, to watch YouTube, and to watch all these things that people do. To spend with your friends, just to sit at the corner and be laughing. He's just spending your time doing things like that, when you could have given a little bit of that time to God. I'm not asking for all your time. No, no, no. Just some of it. Can we give it to God to transform somebody else's life? To change somebody else's life? Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. You cannot influence someone if you don't spend time with them. So to change somebody, it will take you to spend time. Spend time. Hallelujah. You know, I'll close with this. I couldn't even really teach what I planned to teach today. When my daughter started going to school, I made a commitment to myself that every day I'll spend some time with her to make sure that she does well at school. Do you understand? And I'll spend time, sometimes depending on how quick she catches certain things, I'll spend about an hour with her. Sometimes it takes her a bit longer to catch certain things. We find that sometimes I'll spend 2 to 3 hours just trying to cause it to understand certain things. And me too, I'm busy. I've got other things that I have to do. Do you get it? But I've committed to spend some time with her. And she's the youngest in her class, and she's doing extremely well because of the investment that we are investing in her life. Do you get what I'm saying? So, recently, I was just meditating. At her school, they are now teaching her how to read. Do you understand? And so now she can pick up a couple of words. She's able to begin to read. So when I noticed that, you can read small. The first thing that came to my mind is that now is time for you to have a Bible. Because now you can read small. So, in the secrets of my heart, I've committed myself also. That now, the way that I spend time for her education, now I must spend time, commit time with her for her spiritual education. It's not easy. Sometimes you don't feel like it. But I'm going to invest the time, sit with her, read. And sometimes the reading takes time. Oh, Jesus. But I will sit. Daddy, what word is this? I'll tell her. Right? Okay, what do you think about what you read? And then she will go off ramp. And I'll bring her back. It means that I'm going to spend time. When we were fasting and praying here on Friday, at some point we were worshiping God. And I opened my eyes. She was standing right there. And I saw her worshiping. And I saw her talking. And I was looking at her. I wonder what she's saying. I wanted to stop what I was doing to just go listen to. Her eyes were closed. She was gone. So after service, I asked her. I said, I noticed you. What were you doing? And she was shy. I said, I want to know. And when I got home, I asked her again. I said, sister, what was happening there? Can you please tell me? And she said, Daddy, I was telling God how much I love him. Ay, 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 my heart. My heart. My heart. You see, just investing some time. Me, I love it when my daughter loves God. I love it when my wife loves God. I love it. I'm most happiest. You see, my wife, she will leave this. She's going to church. And she'll leave me at home. I said, me, I'm so blessed. Some people, you don't know where your wife, when your wife moves, leaves the house, you've got question marks. She said, I'm going to church. And when she comes back home, her feet will be brown of dust. She'll be telling me, we did outreach, we went there with her. I'll be looking at her feet. I said, wow. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good tidings. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for the Lord. Yeah. You, your wife is bothering you. They want cutex for the feet. The cutex that is expensive with different colors. And the same cutex, other brothers are seeing it. And when she's walking with that cutex, they are busy traveling her in the street. Yeah, I like my wife coming back with brown shoes full of dust. I said, sister, where do you come from? I came to win souls. I said, Tell your neighbor, let's love the Lord. Tell your neighbor, say, let's love the Lord. Just give some time. Hallelujah. Let's rise to our feet. And as you do, please put your hands together for Jesus.
Thank you for listening to the powerful word of God. We hope you are blessed by this message. For more inquiries, go to www.healingfireministries.org or email us at info@healingfireministries.com or call at 072-5912-858. May God be with you.